I'd like to talk to you about CLC. And when I talk to you about Christian Outreach Center, I'm talking to you about the Jesus of Christian Outreach Center. If we were going to say, what is your overall purpose for having this body of believers here? Everything else falls under this category, in my opinion, and without even explaining it, but I'm going to, I believe our major purpose is to glorify Jesus. And everything we do, in our life, in our attitudes, how we minister, what we're doing, the Holy Spirit was spoken of by Jesus in John 16, and Jesus said, when he comes, he will glorify me. There's nothing that we can do to really help people apart from Jesus Christ. He's our life. And Jesus honors the Father. And so when we honor Jesus, we're honoring the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at that and recognizing that the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus, I want to put in perspective why we do what we do. Why do we praise and worship Jesus and the Father? Why is that here primary compared to being secondary? Because the Holy Spirit, through his presence, is manifested in this place as we worship. You see, when you're giving testimonies or backstories or whatever you want to call it, you're glorifying Jesus. It's not about you. When we are praising and singing and dancing, and you say, dancing? Well, I'm going to one day. It's because we're glorifying Jesus. It's not to draw attention to you.
That's right.
There's nothing that we should be doing that draws attention to us. If we are purposely drawing attention to us, we're stepping into a place where only God should be.
That's right.
The giftings that you have, and we'll talk about that when we talk about bearing fruit, is simply so you can honor Jesus. That we can glorify Jesus. That we can bring his name to the forefront. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's all kinds of churches out there that are not part of the body of Christ.
That's right.
Okay, you can get out of your coma now. There's all kinds of churches that are just social places where you go where Jesus might be mentioned. But any church, and I'm talking about building, that is not honoring Jesus Christ and not preaching salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is not part of the body of Christ. And you may say, boy, that's pretty hard. Well, I want to be hard. I want people to understand something. Walking in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking in Burger King makes you a hamburger.
That's right.
There's a personal relationship to Jesus Christ bought to us by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that we bow down, and you don't have to bow down, you can stand up, and we believe that he is the Son of God. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe that he arose and conquered death, hell, and the grave. We believe that he's coming again. We believe that he's going to take us home someday.
Right.
Based on the fact that we have a relationship with him, and we'll talk about that later. Now here's what happens. The Holy Spirit begins to minister to us. And we begin to flow in the Spirit, and we have what we call presence. Not something like Christmas. It's P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not E-N-T-S. But we'll take those two. We have a personal presence, and as we come together, we want presence. And so if we want presence, we need to do things that glorifies Jesus. We okay? You have the Holy Spirit within you as born-again believers. But the thing that we want to do is collectively come together and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. And as He manifests Himself, we call that the presence of God. Now listen to me. Am I too far off, Kirk?
Great.
Now, you may not want that here. Because remember, how many remember the day of Pentecost? What happened when the Holy Spirit showed up? There was a rushing, mighty wind. There was physical manifestations that the Holy Spirit showed up. So I'm thinking about that this morning, so I go to Acts chapter 4. Presence. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that they prayed that God would protect them, so to speak, and the whole building was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are going to come to Christ in a shaking building? There were manifestations of the presence of God, and God's got to wrap this one up in a bungee cords if He's going to shake it, because we could have walls all over. But the Holy Spirit was manifesting Himself to these people who were glorifying Jesus. Remember, they prayed for the Holy Child. The glorifying Jesus, and the place was shaken. Now, what God really wants to do is shake us. But I want to be in a place where the presence of God is free to do whatever He wants.
Yes.
Because if we were listening to the testimonies, God's up to something.
That's right.
How many of you like to go someplace where you're not welcome? You ever been there? Do you ever go to somebody's house and they're just grouchy and ornery and you know they don't want you there and they know they got another thing to do, but you have to go there for something? I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit wants to show up where He's welcome.
That's right.
He wants to minister where the people want to glorify Jesus. He wants people just to flow with what He's doing. And as we flow with what He's doing, He manifests Himself more and more and more and more. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have spiritual manifestations in your home.
Yes.
You're going to have God moving in your home where the power and the presence and the glory of God, His manifested presence, just lingers. Listen. If Satan can manifest in your homes, not your homes, but homes you know, why can't the Holy Spirit?
That's right. Amen.
At times, and I understand because I get called every once in a while to go clean out a house or do something with demonic presence. But why not just seek after the presence of God and let the presence of God flow through your homes? Let Him manifest Himself. Let the glory just flow. When we want to glorify Jesus, not only do we just welcome the Holy Spirit, but we also welcome the Word of God.
Amen.
It's kind of forgotten in the church. The Bible says, separate them by your word. Your word is truth. It's unfortunate when Pilate asked Jesus what is truth that Jesus didn't have a King James Bible or an NIV to give him. Here's truth. And you have truth standing in front of you. We need to recognize Jesus called his words truth. And Jesus was called the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word manifested and became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is a picture of the truth of his Father and the Word of God. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. And the Bible says that demons came out and the sick were healed and all kinds of things was going on in Acts chapter 8. So as we preach truth, and as we preach the word, which are the same, things begin to happen. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. The word of God will make you mature, or you'll stop reading the Word. The Word of God will direct a hunger in your heart for Jesus. The Word of God will build you up and strengthen you. I don't understand, but I know if I go a couple days apart from the Word, I just got such a hunger in my heart to get back to where I can be. I remember a couple days with Judy that I had the Word in the car, not in the hospital, and so I finally brought the Word. I finally woke up, you know, every once in a while, a light bulb goes on. Hey, click, click, click. The Word's out there. You can bring it in here. Oh, really? Never thought about that. But it kind of comes together. And so the Word of God or the truth of the gospel needs to get into here so that it can come out here. And we believe that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God will lead us to a deeper insight into the Word. And so that Word of God, along with the Holy Spirit, will empower you. It'll strengthen you. It will encourage you. And what does it do to us together? It builds. We need worship and the Word. There's not one more powerful than the other. They both go together. And so we just simply need to have them together so that it builds and strengthens and edifies. How many of you have ever said, well, I'm weak as a Christian. I'm weak as a believer. I'm weak in my faith. You know what you're saying? The Bible's on the shelf. It's not meant to be a paperweight.
That's right.
And there's many ways you can get it. I mean, man, some of these people, what do they call those phones with?
Smartphones.
Smartphones? Don't let the smartphone be smarter than you. Find out where the scripture is on it. I believe I'll get a smartphone and I'll even learn how to text. But but we need to glorify Jesus. We do that by living in his presence and we need the Word. Okay. Third thing we need is relationships. Look at somebody, turn around and say, "Hey, I love you." Not your family. They already know that. Come on, folks. Well, maybe some husbands need to tell their wives they love them. The major relationship is your in your life is Jesus.
That's right.
After that comes your family. But God has placed enough love within you where you can love the whole world.
Yes.
We receive that love from Jesus. And as that love spreads, people are touched, ministered to. Sometimes all people need is somebody to say, "Hey, I love you." They don't always need a message. They don't always need somebody counseling them. They simply need someone looking at them saying, "Hey, I love you. And I want to help." And so what are relationships we're talking about? Everyone who comes in here, everyone, should be honored, should be respected, should be shown value, and should be shown importance. That's what God does. You may have been out in left field in the world, living a life of absolute sin and nothing but sin, but God still reached down into your heart and said, "I want a relationship with you." And some of these people saying, "Who, me?" Yeah. Because God has the best for you that you could ever expect. And as people come in here, they're looking for something. There's very few people who just get up and say, "Well, I think I'll go to Christian Outreach Center."
That's true.
There's one person that gets up in the morning.
You didn't say very few.
Said, "Hey, I need to go to Christian Outreach Center." But people need a safe place to grow.
Yes.
And that's built and built and built and built until people become strong enough and they start building relationships. You know why? Somebody come in here that's full of sin. God cleanses them. They go out there. Somebody's going to ask them, "What in the world happened to you?" And what are they going to say? Well, they're going to say, "Probably, I went to this place and those people just kind of welcomed me and I accepted Jesus." "You did what?" Well, they won't know this yet, but they're going to look at their friends and say, "Turn or burn." It doesn't work that way. But they're going to look and say, "I met someone who loves me. And I met a group of people who loves me." And as we function, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. So as that love begins to move and flow within us and to others and to others and to others, they may not all come to church here, and that's fine. The main thing is that we all go to heaven together. The body of Christ, don't miss this. The body of Christ is the only place where you can have eternal relationships. Because people aren't going to be very friendly in hell. So the body of Christ is the place, whatever body of Christ is in this town and joining with other churches, the body of Christ is the place where you build eternal relationships. And eternal means forever. Won't it be kind of nice to get to heaven and not be a stranger? You say, what? Well, we know people. We know people there already. We know people that will be going there. And someday the Lord tarries, we'll be going there. And so we really just simply want people to build in each other's lives. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? That you love one another. And so as people come in, no matter if you've been here for 30 years or no matter if you've been here 30 years, we haven't been that long. If you've been here for 22 and a half years, or if you're just coming, you're accepted, you're honored, you're respected, you have importance, and you have value. And we keep building. Now the last thing Jesus desires, that all of us bear fruit. Jesus desires that we all bear fruit. Okay, Jason, you ready? John 15:8. Anybody know what it says? Herein is my Father glorified, that what? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Bearing fruit should not be a choice. How many have fruit trees in your yard? Anybody got an apple tree, orange tree? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, isn't it amazing that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control are called fruit of the Spirit? Do you ever put that together? Fruit of the Spirit, my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit, so God gives you fruit so you can bear fruit. You don't just go out and say, well, I'm just going to bear fruit. No, God's already planned that in you. God's already put that in you, that the fruit will come through, that he's placed in you through the Holy Spirit. Okay, Kirk, slide down here for a minute. I'm going to choke you. Don't react. If you turn blue, I'll stop. You know, nobody goes out to their tree and say, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear some apples now. You don't do that. And God doesn't do that with us. God just puts things within us that are going to bear fruit if we allow them to. What about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, gifts of faith, working of miracles, divine healing, tongues, interpretation? How about those? Gifts of revelation. What are the gifts of revelation? It's God speaking to us, telling us to go do something that he's already accomplished, but he wants us to be flesh, going to someone who is flesh, so they can see that there's a God that uses flesh. So what if I don't like my gift? It's not God's problem. It's really yours. You say, boy, it got quiet in here, didn't it? You say, well, what do I do? You do what the gift tells you through the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you have that gift or gifts? Because God trusts you to use them. God put them in you, and keep in mind, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't apologize to himself for giving you the gifts. And so they can grow and mature. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do it. I started out with tongues. You know, tongues were easy until you had to give the interpretation. Anybody know Tama? I can speak in tongues, but the problem is he wants me to manifest what I said. We don't just go around in church services and throw out a tongue and hope somebody else interprets. The Bible says if you speak in a tongue, you better know what you're saying, for that you better know that interpretation. Because if there's nobody there, I got to be careful because I don't want to stifle anything. Then you're supposed to be quiet. Okay? So God comes to Jonathan and says, there's a man over there and he needs someone to help him. Can I tell you something? We can say no, but you'll get beat up all the way home. Yeah. God doesn't make you go against your will. He just makes you willing to go.
Amen.
It's really true. But we have a choice. And it doesn't mean if we don't do it, God doesn't love us and we're going to hell. Nothing like that. It just means God gives you the opportunity that he can minister through you to someone. And you know what that does to you? You go home flying. You go home walking on hot on air. You go home so blessed by God, you can say, where's the next one? True. And so here's what happens, and I'm done, almost. People say, well, I'm going to call pastor and he's going to lead so-and-so to Christ. I'm going to call pastor and he's going to pray and see somebody healed. I'm going to call pastor and let him do it. And you know what happens? I go home just soaring like an eagle, and you're saying, why don't I do it? But God's commissioned you to do it. There's no one sitting here today that has accepted Christ, believes that Jesus is Lord and Savior, wants to walk and live in the Holy Spirit, that God doesn't anoint and say, go do it. And you know something? You can make some mistakes and you can still grow. If you haven't made a mistake in this, you probably haven't tried it. I made several. Does it mean I'm all done? No. No. So as we come together, we begin to look like a body. We begin to act like a body. We begin to flow like a body. And you know something? We even begin to sound alike, even though that's not necessary. Because what are the first words on your lips? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And it's really, really, really wonderful to be part of a community where the churches are trying to flow together and the body of Christ is being lifted up and Jesus is being glorified.